I'm sure you brethren sensed the spirit of the prayer which was offered just a few moments ago. And you must know that if that prayer is to be answered, as I hope it will, it can only be by the mercy and the merits and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is not one of us here, including your speaker, who is worthy to receive the endowment of the good Spirit. And if it shall be that our Heavenly Father shall put our sins behind him for this evening and shall choose to bless us by the power of his Spirit, so be it according to his will. This particular revelation on Fishing River was given in peculiar circumstances. The saints had been driven out from Jackson County, as you know, in 1933, in July, I think it was. And the word was sent to Joseph, who was in Kirtland. And he presented the matter to the Lord, and there came the knowledge that he should gather up 500 young men from the eastern churches and make a trek from Kirtland back down into Jackson County. It was anticipated that these young men would be on a peaceful mission. It was not anticipated that they would use force to redress the grievances of the saints who had been driven out from their inheritances. But it was thought that, by the prophetic mind, I'm sure, that if these young men could peacefully move back upon the places that had been ravaged and quietly resettle them, that the balance of political power in Jackson County, at least, would be redressed, and the grievances of the saints would find satisfaction. But instead of 500 young men coming in answer to the call, there came 198. 302 said to themselves, "We're going to wait and see if this venture prospers. And if it prospers, we will invest our monies and our time and our talent." So instead of the 500, only 198 responded. And they responded and came the journey until they got to Clay County, across the other side of Fishing River. And you will recall they were surrounded by a mob, their enemies. And on the particular night before their enemies decided to strike, there was a terrific hailstorm, which laid about them. So bad was it that the camp of the enemy was entirely devastated. Some of guns which they had were broken because of the size of the hailstones. The camp where the church men were encamped was comparatively free from the storm. And so our Heavenly Father preserved and protected Zion's camp from destruction. And it was after this that the perplexities and all the trials and tribulations of the saints met with this revelation upon Fishing River, which is quite a remarkable document. But let us try to imagine what might have happened if the 500 had responded. Had they moved across the river into Jackson County and retaken possession of their inheritances? Undoubtedly, the balance of political power in Jackson County would have swung to the side of the church. And if the church had continued to bear its testimony, and as the Lord told them, Zion shall prosper if she continue to, if she do the things that I have commanded her. Now let us suppose that this had transpired. And let us suppose that the church grew as it would undoubtedly have done because of the endowment of testimony which came because of the unity of the church. And let us suppose that even farther afield, that the gospel had gone in power to the rest of the state of Missouri. And let us imagine, shall we, that so powerful would have been the witness of the Spirit of God that even those who did not and would not obey the gospel would find it more convenient to move to other parts. And let us humbly suppose that the whole state of Missouri had become dominantly church-oriented, that the legislature would have been guided and controlled and blessed by the Spirit of God. What do you think would have happened? There would have been raised up in this state prophet after prophet after prophet. And as a result of the intelligence and power that would have been displayed, this state of Missouri would have had representatives in every court and government throughout the world. So distinctive and so unique would have been her posture. So distinctive and unique would have been her institutions, that in every place there would have been a Nathan for every David, and for every king there would have been a prophetic advisor. And gentlemen, who knows but that as a result of such prophetic advisement, who knows but what the First World War might not have been avoided.